Where do you want to start me with?
Start from the
beginning. Perhaps you should start from before you entered the cradle.
Well, Ramana has snatched many from the cradle, but he caught me as an adult.
But you yourself told me, you know, there were times when you were a young lad, 6-7 years old in the village, laying on the bank of the Kaveri River, looking at the stars and contemplating God.
I just contemplate God. I was just looking at it, that's all. I never knew what was God. I was just like an animal. See, till almost my 20th year, see,
no, I just came to that. For me, in a small way. Like the way you know, you get a total background about your coming to Bhagavan. Yes. You start from wherever you want to start from your childhood.
I tell you, my father was a great Sanskrit scholar. Not only a Sanskrit scholar in his early days, he was an expert in the mantra shastra, the science dealing with the various spells and mantras for getting moksha, and also for getting the various specific benefits in his worldly life. And he had attained a lot of success in it, that is what I was told. But in his later days when I saw him, he had done no sadhanas, but he used to go on writing poems after poems on various gods. That is how he spent his last days of his life. He died in 62nd year. But his father was a great scholar in Advaita Vedanta, the philosophy of non-dualism, and also in Vyakarana. A number of great Mahatmas, sannyasins, monks used to come, live in that house, have meals, 2 months, 3 months, they will study some specific tests where they wanted clarifications and they used to go away. This is what I was told because my grandfather died 7 years before I was born in the year 1921. But then I am just told during his last days when there were barely perhaps 3-4 days left, he had been asking several times that I would like to take sannyas. His wife was no longer alive. She died when he was about 37 years old or so. He was one belonged to the Orthodox Brahmin community. He had never worn a shirt. And he was no doubt a Sanskrit teacher also. But he will never sit on any chair where somebody else has been sitting. And he was a scholar in the Advaita philosophy and in Sanskrit grammar, it is not really a grammar. Every subject had its own philosophy. So Vyakarana also had a touch of philosophy. There are great dissertations on philosophy in the Vyakarana books. It is not a simple grammar like English grammar. So he got sannyas during his last 3-4 days. His samadhi is still there in a small village called Thiruvayar, in the Tanjore district, which is the place of Saint Chagaraja, the doyen of Carnatic music, the founder of Carnatic music in South. Well, as I said, my mother was completely covered by the Murti Puja, doing worship of the Divine Mother. She had the various graphics known as Tantras. So, that is the three-dimensional picture as we have got in our mother's shrine, which is called Mahameru, Ardhameru, then also the two-dimensional, that is called the Bhuprastara, where the various squares, and then within it the various circles, and within it 5 triangles with their apex up, and 4 triangles with their apex down, some representing Shiva and some representing Shakti, and then in the middle of it a small dot. That a dot is something without dimension. I will not call it as without dimension. It is an infinite dimension which you cannot catch, and that was called the Bindu, the place of the cosmic air. The total cosmic energy, the living and loving energy, the Parashakti, the transcendental power, the Kundalini Shakti, and the Supreme Reality, whatever you may call it. Well, my mother was a worshipper of that, according to the prescribed rites. from morning onwards up to 2 o'clock, she was busy in that. And even the, as children, we were all untouchable. My mother, after my second year, has never touched us. We were all polluter, according to her. And that was her way. Nobody would explain to us what is God, what are they doing, why that puja is done, what does the yantra represent. My father had done so much of mantras. He was one of the advisors to Sajjan Udroff, who the famous one who has translated a number of tantric books, perhaps the first and last to do it, in fact. He was in India. He was also a collector in Tanjore or so, perhaps. At that time, he came into contact with my father. He used to consult him in many of the moot points in the Tantra Shastra. But I was influenced by neither of them. Nobody, I used to go along with them to the temple. And they will all be standing before the Divine Mother statue and saying, "Oh Mother, how divine are you? How glorious are you?" I used to look at it. It was all a stone and nothing else. I couldn't see any Divine Mother. It was all simple stone. Nobody had ever explained how that stone had become the Divine Mother. So I was just like an animal, eating, studying because those people wanted me to study. The one beautiful thing was, in my family, all my brothers and sisters, they were all put in the English school. They all studied English from the very beginning. Me, my father found that I was a little dull. All of them were brilliant, got first in the Nevada State, gold medalists, and I was perhaps one of the only black sheep in the family. So, my father thought, this fellow is not perhaps suited for the English education. He put me in a Sanskrit college, one of the few at that time extant in Tamil Nadu, where they trained us for, just as the Acharya course in Benares, it was called the Shiromani course. And just as we have got Maths honors, Physics honors, Chemistry honors, like that there were so many types of Shiromanis one could take. Yeah. First 4 years preparatory, and then a government examination, where your eligibility was determined according to the marks you got, whether you can branch off into Vyakarana Shiromani, or whether you can go into Vedanta Shiromani, or whether you can go to the logic, the Tarka Shiromani, all these things. So, it was, they didn't start with ABCD. Even the very first standard, we started with the poems of great poets like Kalidasa, Meghaduta, his drama called Abhigyan Shakuntalam. We started high. And all the lectures were in Sanskrit, because many of the teachers were not people from Tamil Nadu. They were, and they never knew, no English was known in the college. So, everybody was telling me, your father is just spoiling your entire life. You are learning Sanskrit. What will you do with it? It will not get you a job. A man who studies Sanskrit, what job can he get? He may at the most go as a priest and earn 4 annas and 8 annas. In those days, when a priest comes and does some rites, he used to be paid, I have myself seen, 8 annas, 1 rupee was the maximum. So people used to deride me, your father is spoiling your life, why does he dislike you? And I myself felt very inferior to all my other brothers and sisters. See, my father has chosen me for this useless Vedic education and Sanskrit education. Today I am thankful to it. Because of the knowledge of Sanskrit, the vista of the Vedic knowledge has been opened to me. Normally whatever book I open, except somewhere, in some cases where some difficult language is used, I can understand every shloka, every hymn, every chapter in Sanskrit with ease. So, it is all the Lord has planned it very, very early in my life, unknown to me, to bring me to this uncharted path. Well, when once I finished my 4 years of Sanskrit education, I was at the age of 6, he joined me in that college. At the age of 10, I came out. What Vedanta could have understood, what grammar I could have understood, he only crammed me with questions and answers. I answered similar things. He used to tell me, this question can be answered, can be questioned in this way, the question can be framed in this way. He used to get several types. Somehow I understood the questions and then put the answers which I have crammed without understanding. But then I myself do not know how. At about the age of 22, I found I could write letters in Sanskrit to the Shankaracharya when a need arose. And my knowledge of Sanskrit was quite good. I do not know how it happened. At that time, I thought that I am dying. I did not know even anything of it. Simply they will say, go on getting Maha, Rama, 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 Rama. Why? What is my Ramam? What is my Ramayana? Nobody will explain that there is what is called a preposition. Here the preposition is inlaid in it, it's implanted in it, so it is not separate. So Ramayana means by Rama, Ramam means an objective clause of Rama. And to Rama, we say Ramaya. So the preposition is added to it, it's implanted inside it. None of these things were explained. Cram, cram and cram. That was the author's way of learning Sanskrit. And after learning it, my knowledge myself grew in Sanskrit by the grace of the Lord. I can't say how. But then as I told, my father had taught me in my young days portions of the Vedas, portions of Upanishads, the entire Taittiriya Upanishad completely crammed. No meaning was ever told. I didn't know what the Upanishad meant, whether it talked about animal or God or about reptiles. I had no idea at all. Side by side with my Sanskrit education, my father was good enough to teach me at home a good amount of mathematics, especially the arithmetic side. He was not well up in algebra. The arithmetic I was quite good at, and English I was so good that in my 8th or 9th year, I used to read Macaulay's speeches, Tennyson's entire works. My father used to bring a lot of books, and I was very fond of fiction. A lot of detective novels I would finish within 2 days. So I was very well up in English as far as concerned. And well, somehow it all happened, and then they said I can't go for ceremony course. I was 10 years old, 14 and 6 months the minimum period. So I was transferred from that to the English education. And we had a, see how God helps us, even in our subterfuges, in our cunning ways, in the early period, in order to win us over as a recruit to his own force. Here is a case where, after my 4 years of Sanskrit, my father didn't know what to do with me. Should I put him in first standard in KG class? No, he is 10 years old. He said, well, let me take him to a music course. They said, this is also a college course. He should be 14 and 6 months old. He was blocked at all places. Our neighbor was the principal of the only school there. When the school was started, my grandfather had watched the Sanskrit Pandit there. The present headmaster at that time was his student. So, and my elder brother had studied there. He came first in the Madras State and got them some laurels. He thought, oh, this will also would add to it. He never knew there is the only exception in my family. So he called me father one day. They were not great friends, just neighbors saying, hello, hello. Hey, what are you going to do with your son? I myself don't know. Will you be fit for the 9th standard in those days? One can be directly put up to 9th standard. It was immediately within 6 months that law was closed. 7th standard is the highest where we can directly join anybody if he is fit enough. My father said, I don't know. Then what he did, it is something unexpected of any principal. He took out some 2 years back or so the final examination question paper in English and maths of the 8th standard final examination. He gave it to him. Look here, You train him in these papers. I am going to give these papers to him for test after 1.5 months. See, this is where he said, God helps even thieves in order to bring them back to his fold. Otherwise, it could never happen. He had never been that close to our family, a principal. See, it's a crime. Committing a crime for admitting a boy who is not known to him at all. Well, my father taught me. I don't know whether it is the deficiency of my father or myself. I got only 70% to 80% in both the subjects, even though I was completely trained in those very papers. Those very papers were given to me. So that shows how intelligent I could have been. Otherwise, I would have got sent up. Anyway, then he asked me to read out that day's newspaper, Hindu. Well, English was my fort. I read it in such a way, well, he was impressed. He said, go and sit in the 9th standard, that is the last room there. That is how...
All this happened in the Thiruvayur.
Thiruvayur only, in that small village. I was a village boy, completely trained in the village. And, well, thus, then the college and all had nothing to do with gods. I had never done meditation. Only just before the examination, some of the boys will say, hey, we have to get good marks in the exam, let us go to the temple and come around him. So the last 2 days before the exam, we used to go around the Bhagavan, wherever the temples were. Well, I used to do it without any feeling, without any bhava, without understanding why we do, how that God can help me in my exam. I didn't know, because others did, I also did. That's all. Absolutely nothing. Not only that, in my college there was a boy who was next door to us. He used to fast on some days. He used to keep Vivekananda's photo there. And he used to do meditation. Well, I was one of the fellows who used to laugh at him. Oh, Vivekananda will make you pass your MSc. Like that. So we had no idea at all of these things. I was a raw, utter donkey. Absolutely as far as spiritual side is concerned. With all my knowledge of all the hymns, I could recite all the Saundaralagari from Shloka 1 to 100 without knowing the meaning. I do not even know why I am reciting it and what it is supposed to do. And by that time my father had given me several mantras, go on repeating them. Well, one Durga mantra was the one which I liked from the 7th year, I used to do it. And somehow without knowing what it is, how it is, I used to go on chanting, I used to like the chanting. While going, while coming, suddenly one day, I found as if the Divine Mother was sitting on my left shoulder and coming along with me. I took it as very natural. I say, oh, I think Mother sometimes likes to sit on the shoulders of children. That's all.
How old you were? Huh? How old you were at that time?
I was 9 years old. I was studying in the Sanskrit College. Uh-huh. I used to go there and come back.
See, you had the vision of the Divine Mother?
Absolutely not.
Power?
Absolutely not. Not even today I never had a vision of her. I had heard her voice, as I said once, but I never had any vision at all. But here, the vision means, I actually saw her. I do not know whether you call it a vision, whether you call it a delusion or illusion. I have no idea at all. I was so specific, as if I am now seeing you, I was seeing her. I was seeing her 2 feet dangling. They were not big feet. Even though she was the Divine Mother, I found they were like that of a small child-like. And it were having some nupura or some such thing, that grind, what is there. I don't know what is it called. We call it salanga in Tamil. So these were all put on her feet. Something like that. I never had a clear picture of her face, but I knew it is the Divine Mother. I don't remember to have seen her face. I remember to have seen her feet. And they were dangling like this. That is all. So it was all for some time. Not that it was continuing for a long time. Sometime it happened. I don't even remember how many days or how many months. But often enough I used to see that light in those days. Well, as I said, I had absolutely no smell of spirituality or religion or either. 1950, after my graduation, and then I spent 1 or 2 years as a teacher. Then I was selected by the central government in the audit department of the defense services and posted to me at first.
But Swamiji, how you were selected? The exam of the board?
Look here. After my passing my graduation, I had attended several interviews for several departments, income tax department and all that. Wherever I went, those fellows, they were asking me questions. What is the formula for manufacturing sulfuric acid? What are the processes? I forgot my entire physics and chemistry the day I wrote my exam. So I could never answer them at all. And several interviews, they never bothered to call me. I thought I had answered brilliantly, but they knew otherwise. So I was never called. For one audit department defense service, they called me to Bombay. There were three officers sitting in the interviewing board. The chairman was one Mr. Warren, who was the deputy, senior deputy director of audit, is equal to the deputy account general. He was M.A. Oxford in Sanskrit, M.A. Oxen. He was known as Srikanteshwaran. He used to call himself as Warren. He was the chairman. There is another gentleman, one Mr. Nair, who was an assistant director of audit. He was from Kerala, a man steeped in Sanskrit law. Mm-hmm. The third was one of the local officers. They just put him nominally as the third one. He didn't count. Then they were asking me, when did you do your BSc, when did you do the found? There is a time lag. You passed in 1942, your SSC. There is a gap. What did you do? Then I said, I was in Sanskrit college. Oh, what did you study? I studied the works of Bhavabhuti, the works of Kalidasa, the works of Dandi, Vyakaran, Tark. Oh, can you tell me which are the four best shlokas in all the works of Kalidasa? I was in my elements. I immediately recited them with a resonant sound, all the four shlokas. And they put me some more questions in the Sanskrit, and I was selected. If only they had asked me in physics or chemistry, I would never have been selected. Again, the God was at my side, and I didn't know that at that time.
So it was the Sanskrit that got you a job auditing the Indian Army?
It got me a job. Yes. This is again a second time.
See, how, what a coincidence. The two top people who were there.
Yes.
They were so much had the knowledge of this.
And they were lovers.
Then they were lovers of Sanskrit.
Lovers of Sanskrit.
When you said that gap was due to your learning of the Sanskrit,
yes.
He belongs to our cadre.
That's all.
So we should get.
Yes, whoever heard of officials that are trying to place a person to audit expenditures by the Indian Army, the qualification is how much they remember the Kalidasa.
It is really a wonder. It is really a wonder. And in the early days, in 1950, when I joined in Meerut, my companions were all people from Punjab, Northwest Frontier, people who were, even though they were family men, they will never fail to go to their houses of prostitutes. In all the UP towns in those days, there is a specific area where all the houses will be full of them. In the evening at 4 o'clock, anybody who goes, they can see themselves, because that used to be shopping places also there. So everybody has to go. You will see them all standing in various poses from the age of 10 up to the age of 90, waiting for their customers. It was really disgusting in those days. Even though I was not spiritual, but these things disgusted. On the first Diwali day, these people said, you come along with me. They were all my companions in the office. When I went with them, they took there. They used to go to each one, pack the oil, ladies. In the mornings, it was 10 o'clock. As discussed, I took a rickshaw without telling them. I came back home. This is what happened. And I would say God saved me from the various temptations when I was all alone there. Nobody known to me. And all these people were all people who drink. Especially what can be the different services, they will go there and get all free drinks being audited, they will be given all free drinks. And up to the end, it is a real problem to get out of it. And the officers would like to discuss all the objections in the officers' mess after the drink. I said, sorry, we will discuss it only in the office. I don't remember them. The papers are there in the office. I discuss them there. So that was the place where I was. Even there, once we were in the field area. I was young enough at that time as an auditor. So I was sitting there in the officers' mess after meals. They said, sit down. Somebody bought some guitar or something. They all began to play. And then it was getting a little boisterous like. Then one of the child's own captain, he took me and said, gentlemen, this is not the place for you. Come on, I'll take you to a tent. Don't sit here now. He took me to my tent and left me there. See, at that time what happened was, one of them was needling me. Hey, auditor, sing a song. You would like to sing a song. Come on, sing a song. Like that. It was at that time the captain called me out. He said, come on, go to your... I said, it was night, I couldn't find out my tent. He came along and left me there. Mm-hmm. Even there, there is the hand of God. All these things I didn't know then. With retrospective effect, when I was remembering all these things, then I knew how the hand of God was coming out from time to time from its hideout and took me out of the perils and put me in a safe place. Unknown captain. I had never met him even during my office period there. Because all the officers had come there and the officers mess at that time. So this is how I was saved from time to time there. In the year 1950, when I was first posted to Meerut in this audit department, on the very first day, I see there, for the first time I am coming to the NAR, I didn't know their language that much. Even though I had passed Visharad, I knew the literary Hindi very well, but I can't talk one sentence. That is the time. And on the very first day when I entered the office, I found a chap who was 1 year junior to me in my hostel. He welcomed me, he arranged for a room for me the same evening. And in the evening I found another South Indian gentleman who was in the third room. He was sitting with a book. I just went, in order just to introduce myself, I said, if it are Englishmen, they will talk about weather. So Indians, we talk about the books. I said, what is the book, sir? He showed me the Gospel of Sri Ramakrishna. The same book, when I was 10 years old, I went to my grandfather's house. I told him, I'm feeling bored. How can I remain for 10 days? Give me some novel or some book. He searched in his entire attic. He found an old edition of Gospel. He gave it to me. And there was nothing else. With great difficulty, page after page, I went through 50 pages. Then it was impossible. I said, what a nonsense book you have got. I gave it back to him. The same book I had. When I went through, every page was a revelation and a pleasure. For half an hour I was going through it. I said, this is the book I want. Out of my first salary, I asked somebody from Delhi to bring that book, the Gospel. That was my first guru. I started reading it. I didn't know what is meditation. There are two things I found. That one is, meditation is a must. And number two, satsang, the company of holy men, the company of people who had been good sadhaks, that is important. Where will I go? The entire place was full of people who were sensuous to the core. Such people, they used to laugh at me, they used to call me the villager. Well, I was happy to be called a villager and ignored. Because I never wanted to go with them anywhere. I was a loner most of the period. Including the other South Indians, they sided with them, they were going along with them. So I was absolutely left alone and it helped me in my meditation. I started myself. I didn't know, somehow I simply think God, 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 and then the mantras I had learned earlier, I'll be going on repeating.
This was due to the impact of your reading the Gospel.
Reading the Gospel. That was my first guru. Page after page I read, I used to weep. It was then, after about 5 months or so, I said, if ever I take a guru, he has to be in the lineage of Ramakrishna Paramahamsa. I was feeling, regretting, oh my Lord, why was I born in the days when Paramahamsa was there? Why was I not born? And then what happened was, I said, where to get a holy company? Somebody told, you will get it in Rishikesh and Haridwar. You will have to go there. Then luckily one more friend of mine had come by the time in our group. He was in my office, one South Indian boy. He also never used to mix up with others. He was nowhere religious or other things. But he was like that. He had a little depression life. So it suited. He suited. He said, I would also like to come. There is Swami Shivananda. He was distantly related to my great-grandfather. So let us go there to Shivananda Ashram. So in 1950 September, for the first time, I went to Swami Shivananda. And I found that everybody had come with something or other, some fruits. I had not taken anything. I didn't know the custom. Nobody had told me. Then I said, everybody is doing namaskar by giving something. When my turn is to come, what shall I do? Hurriedly, in that room, there were other monks sitting with and doing somewhat. I borrowed a sheet of paper and a pen. That is the only time I wrote only one shloka on him. Himadri Parshve Esatatam Basantam. I remember only the first line. So like that, I wrote one shloka. I gave it to him and did namaskar. Oh, he read it. He was so pleased. He said, hey, bring that book. Some 20 books of his. He wrote that, love and home, Shivananda, love and home, Shivananda. And placed it all in my lap. So, that is my first visit to Swami Shivananda Ashram. Then from that time onwards, once in about a month, once in a few months, I used to go there. They never used to give me a room. There used to be a big hall where there will be a big table where you place all your luggage and sleep there down below in a mat. That is the day. And at night time he used to hold satsang. All the ashram was all down below only. So in the satsang I'll be sitting somewhere. He'll be calling me, oh Shastri, come here, come on, talk something in Sanskrit. So one day I talked something in Sanskrit about the comparative merit of jnana and bhakti. I was nervous because I had never talked in Sanskrit earlier at any time. So nervously I happened to talk. When it was over about 20 minutes, he said, hey, none of these people know anything about Sanskrit. Now you tell them what all you told in English. In my nervousness, I have forgotten what all I told in Sanskrit. So I made up something else and told in English, which had no relevance to what I told. Then when everything was over, people were all going away, he called me. He called me very near and told in a very low voice, I've heard that South Indian Brahmins are very clever. Well, you demonstrated it today. Shamefully, I laughed. So, we had a wonderful time.
He had a very good knowledge of Sanskrit.
He had. See, that's why he translated the Shankara's Bhashya and all that. Yes, sir. He had a very good. He learned specifically. He was a doctor, those days a diploma, LMP. He was working with the bonded laborers in Malaysia. He was helping them all. Suddenly one day, he was married. Suddenly one day he left it all. He came to Benares and he was daily doing his meditation on Bhagavad Gandhis. Then one of the, not the main Shankaracharyas, one of the, there were hundreds of Shankaracharyas, one of them from Kashi, from somewhere met him. He said, hey, would you like to have sannyas? He gave him, he didn't do any of the funeral, any of the ceremonies. He just gave him the kapda and said, do rest of the things in some known ashram. So he went away after giving him. That's how he came up and all that. So
he came to Bhagwan during the Purvashrama?
He came, after sannyas, he used to dance before the Lord. He had a big body. With that body he was dancing before Bhagwan. Here is the Brahma. Like that. Oh. He really, he was also, somehow in those days I thought, this is my own idea, he was a Jivanmukta. One of the one of the rare few. I have not seen many of that level, but he was a Jivan Mukta. My guru had great reverence because my guru, he and one Tapavan Maharaj was the guru of Chinnananda. All the three lived together in adjacent kutiyas in Surgashram in Rishikesh, and then they were doing their sadhana. They used to compare notes with each other, but they all considered him as the senior most. They used to revere. My Gurudev used to do namaskar to Shivananda. All these things I knew much later. In the year 1952, one day in the evening, he said, "Hey, come along." So he and four, he had some four disciples. One Venkateshananda, one Sachidananda, and Hridayananda. So all of them together, they all came along with him. He took me to the kitchen and he sat in a small bench astride, just as sitting in the motorcycle. And then some chapatis were kept. Suddenly, I am standing. He suddenly turned towards one of the Swamiji's. "Hey, shall we do Mundan ceremony to Swamiji, to Shastriji?" I said, "No, Swami, I got a lot of results. In 1952, I was raw as a carrot. So, and sannyas, I was really afraid of the term." I said, no, Swamiji, no Mundan now. I got a lot of responsibilities." He laughed and kept quiet. So 1952 was the first offer for sannyas to me, when I was not ripe for it. Anyway, then, as I said, I was fond of going about. In 1952 only, she had written a souvenir after having visited Sri Lanka and all. He never went abroad. Up to Sri Lanka he had gone, they call it Digvijay Swamiji. There in one of the altitudes, Shivananda himself had done. Even today, there are Jivan Muktas who have come face to face with the ultimate supreme reality named God. For instance, number one, Krishna Prem Maharaj of Uttar Vrindavan, within bracket Ronald Nixon. Number two, Swami Purushottam Ananda Vasishtha Guha. He didn't write even Himalayas, simply Vasishtha Guha. I said, "Why waste time going to the third hand, fourth hand and fifth hand? If these people have seen God, and if they are still now today, wouldn't we get from them?" So I began to search where these people are situated. I asked ever so many. I didn't have the guts to go and ask him, "You have written about the Jivan Muktas, which is their address?" That I did. So many people asked, nobody could tell me. Vaishtoga was 20 kilometers from there. The fellows who asked, they were equally as dull as like myself. So nobody could tell me. 53, 54, 55, 3 years I tried and then I forgot about it.
But periodically you used to go to Shivananda.
Shivananda, that was going on. That was going on till 1954. Because in 1954 I was transferred to Delhi, then my visits became less. Meerut was a bit nearer. But there I had more responsibilities, so I was still going. Till about 55 I was going to him from time to time. There is nothing special. I used to go there, attend the satsangs, come out. That is all 2 days, 3 days, then come back. See, that was the thing going on there at that time. Then in the year 1956 beginning, I had gone to Almoda side, to Ranikhet for some official purposes. One of the chaps, he told me, "Swamiji, I am going to see my guru in Banerjee. So I will be out for 1 week. So if you want to see my ledgers, please take it first and finish it within 3 days. For all you." I said, "Who is your guru?" "My guru is known as Krishna Premi." "Krishna Premi? Ronald Nixon?" "Yes." "Oh, where is his ashram?" "It's about 150 kilometers from Almoda. That area is called Palmanavala. The particular place where he is called Mirtola, wherein he has got an ashram. I would like to see you." "He may not like to see you. You know what happened? K.M. Munshi, the governor of UP, wrote to him, 'I would like to meet you, when could I come?' He said, 'Sorry, I don't want to meet you, don't come.'" He wrote, he is such a person. And he said, "I am now going, I will come back. Then we'll decide, you can meet him later on." He went for a week, came back. He said, now you can go. I will give you a basket of fruits with a letter. You can take it and hand it over to him. He wanted a basket of some particular fruits. So I am sending it. So you take it. But the moment you get down there from the bus stand, about 3 kilometers you have to walk. Nobody will tell you where it is. There is one paanwala who sells paan. And if he accepts you, he will send a man along with you. If he doesn't accept you, he will give some excuse, I do not know, you get out. He will not. And if he accepts, Swamiji will accept him. If that paanwala rejects you, he will reject you. So my fate hung on the favorite of that paanwala. I got down and went to him. Immediately he sent a boy with a single question as to who I am. I went over there. He and he had another American shishya known as Madhav Ashish. Both of them smilingly invited me as if they have known me for years. And he was talking with me for some time. And then she said, in the evening when I go for my puja, I will take you. He gave me a room. It was perhaps July or something, because it was quite cold. I had gone with all my coat and all that. It was quite cold at that time. So I went in the, I was taking rest in the evening. He came on and asked me, come on, we are going to do puja. He had himself built the Krishna's temple, a small Krishna. I don't remember the Radha Krishna and Krishna, I know. She went and did the puja so well, and then Madhavashish did the mridanga. He could pronounce all the Vedic mantras very well. He knew Bengali. We talked for a little time in Bengali also. He knew Sanskrit. And that night, he himself prepared one root. He boiled it, one tapioca root. He just boiled it and gave it to me. They all took that. And he prepared a cup of coffee. That was our night supper. And we were all talking. And the first time he said, Paul Brinton, don't mention his name, you are talking about Bhagavan Ramana. He said, I saw the Supreme Lord in two places. One in Bhagavan Ramana. The moment I saw a big light, I knew I am face to face with the Supreme Reality. The other place was Srirangam, where Bhagavan Vishnu is lying down as Ranganatha. They first refused to take me in because foreigners were not allowed, but the collector was a friend of mine, so he managed to smuggle me in at night 12 o'clock after all the doors were closed. So I had a brilliant vision of Bhagavan. So the two times I came face to face with the Lord. Like that he was talking throughout the night. And the next day also we were there. The third day early in the morning, he walked me for 3 kilometers up to the bus stand. In the meantime, he never asked me who I was, what is my salary, what is my status. Nothing was ever asked. That's all. I have only told my name, that's all. And might have even forgotten it. We do not know. So that was that thing. On the first night, after the puja, everything was over. I went to my room. I was feeling very cold. But I didn't like to ask a Swamiji anything. So I was wearing my coat and I was lying down. Swamiji walked in with 2 blankets after about 20 minutes. Krishna prayed. I said, who is to get up, again do namaskars? It's all nonsense. I feigned this as if I am still sleeping. He put those blankets over me, tugged it, and went away. Even today I regret my foolishness. I should have got up. I should have done more namaskar. But, number one, I lacked in my spiritual education. Number two, I was lazy. So all these things were there. Who I was. I was not a VIP.
What happened during the 3 miles of walk? Both of you were just keeping quiet or something?
Absolutely quiet.
Absolutely
quiet.
He never opened his mouth.
See, I never knew that we should ask questions.
No.
I never asked any spiritual question on here with anybody. Nor did he talk. No. Absolute silence we went. That was there. Mm-hmm. So, then the same year, in September, I said I had some 6 days leave for the puja holidays that they call it, Navratri. So I said, let me go to Shivananda, the only place I knew, the safe satsang. So when I was traveling from Haridwar, I had to take a separate bus to Rishikesh. In those days, there were first class and second class. So in between, there was one seat where people were sitting. I didn't know whether it belonged to the first class or the second class. So the person was sitting there, in pant and all that, young man, perhaps 28 years old. He said, come on, come on, come on, this is also second class only. So I went there side by side. His name was Pritim Singh Pathania, a young man. So he said, where are you going? I told him. So we have been going so many times. So why don't you come along with me this time? Where are you going? I am going to a place called Vasishtaka. A beautiful Swamiji is there, who is aged about 80 years or 78 or something. His name is Swami Purushottamananda. I hit the ceiling. 1952, I heard his name in 1950s. I am getting the location. I said, sure, I'll come along with you. We went to Rishikesh. We got down. In those days, the buses, coming buses will come for 3 hours going, but it's called the gate system. Going and coming, though the road is small. Only one way the buses will go at one time. They will stop at one place. Then the buses will come for 3 hours this way. So like that. So we had some 2 hours left. He said, look here. There is no kitchen, nothing is there. So we have to take things. So he purchased some rice. He purchased some vegetables. I just did what all he did. I purchased a big bag. I purchased a big bag. I didn't have a bag for taking all those things. And I couldn't carry them. I had already my baggage. He carried my bag, his bag, everything. So we went over there. It was 12:30. There was only one room which was built in 1955. Earlier, from 1928 to 1955, my Gurudev had been sitting inside the cave where he used to sleep, where he used to meditate. That was the only place. In 55, I think some Teri Gadwal Rani or somebody had built a room for him. So he is sitting on that terrace outside his room. The moment I went, there were some brahmacharis and others. We did namaskar. He was looking at me. And laughingly called one brahmachari, ask this man, how many years back he knew me and when is he coming here? I was foolishly, I thought he's talking with other men, he never knows me at all. So I just was standing with a serious face. Then again he laughed. He pointed his finger at me. Hey, I'm asking you, didn't you know me as early as 1952? I was shocked. No reply. His idea was only to shock. So he called another brahmachari, hey, take them out, prepare some chapatis and feed them. They'll be hungry like. So all of them had taken me earlier. They prepared and then they gave me. It was love at first sight. I never knew to which lineage he belonged, whether it was Ramakrishna or other things.
What was your first reaction when you saw Swamiji?
It was a brilliant face. A face which exuded peace. A face which exuded confidence that nothing in the world can affect him. That's all I could see. And his love, expression of love. The expression of love was the one which caught me first. An unknown person, how can one love to that extent? So that was my real insight, perhaps some question like, that's all. I never asked anybody about it. First time, and with what love he is calling me. And 3 days I stayed. First day I told me my name. He never asked me again, whether I was a clerk, whether I was an officer, whether I was a peon. Nothing was asked. What I did, what I knew, whether I knew Sanskrit, whether I knew Hindi, nothing was ever asked about me. Nothing was there. And in the mornings he used to come, some satsang will take place, people will come, he will laugh with some. He will ask them how is such and such and all that. I was simply sitting morning and evening there with his son. I used to have my meals, that's all. And on the third day I had to leave. The next day morning, early morning I was to leave. So I went to him that previous evening. He was reading Mahabharata. He suddenly gave it to me. Hey, you read. I continued to read. Then after 15 minutes then I told, Swamiji, tomorrow early morning I'm leaving. he said, hey, next month end, or some October and November, he told, November. This was in September end or so, or October beginning. Hey, November end, my birthday comes. You will come and do Bhagavad Saptah.
Mm-hmm.
He never knew that I knew Sanskrit.
Hmm?
He never knew that I knew Sanskrit, I had never told. Of course, at that time I have read. She said, you will do Bhagavad. I thought, it is only reading. I have never read Bhagavad in my lifetime, till then. I have read the entire Valmiki Ramayana original. I have read portions of Mahabharata. I have never gone near Bhagavad because my father used to say, Bhagavate Panditanam Pariksha. This is very tough. If a Pandit has to be tested asking questions in Bhagavad. So I never went near it because I am not a Pandit. And I said, if perhaps want me to read anyway, it's okay. I came away the early morning, I got up, I took my bag and baggage, went up the hill. I was standing there for the bus. I was thinking to myself, I don't know when his birthday is to come. He has not taken my address. So I will never know. It's all right. But just then, a brahmachari came running with a notebook and a pen. Guruji has asked me to take your address. And exactly 15 days before the due date, a letter comes from somebody. Gurudev wants us to remind you that you must come one day earlier on celebrate date. Because one day earlier is Mahatmya, I should come the previous day and I should bring my book of Bhagavad. I had no book. Then I asked somebody to purchase from Delhi and brought. From Delhi I brought the Bhagavata book and all that. So that is how my life with my guru started. For 1 year I never knew to which lineage he belonged, who was his guru, nothing. I was so satisfied. And one day one of the engineers, a devotee, he gave me a book. Hey, have you read the biography of Gurudev? Oh, is there a biography? I never knew, I never asked anybody whether there are books. I was utterly a dull fellow. See, anybody who goes, he says, is there any book he has written? So many people are now asking. I never even thought of it. I never asked whether there is any biography or life story, nothing at all. I never asked anybody who was his guru. Then when he gave the biography, I said, oh my lord, he is the Shishya of Rakhal Maharaj, who was the mentally adopted son, the Manasika Putra of Ramakrishna Paramahamsa. I was elated. I said, I had put some conditions. My guru should be from the lineage. It is now fulfilled. That is why when Shivananda said, I said, no. Even our Krishnapraya Maharaj is very good. I could have asked him. No. But then I was very happy. Rest I saw. There is no money. There is no strong room. There is no box to keep money. Nobody was offering any money. He was not taking any money. I was very happy. But then the question which was ragging me was, does he ever go into meditation? That is one of my classes. Like Ramakrishna Paramahamsa, he will suddenly go into samadhi while talking and all that. I would like to have such a guru. But it has never happened in all these days. I have never seen him going into meditation. He might have been at night time, I do not know. So, I was just sitting, pondering over that after reading the book. Some fellow comes and says, Guruji calls you up. I went up. He told me, you're sitting outside the terrace. Hey, see that shelf inside that room, that top book, that big book, you bring that. I brought that book. It was Brihadaranyaka Upanishad, the biggest of all the Upanishads, perhaps. I have read many of the important Upanishads, but two big Upanishads I have avoided studiously. One was Chandogya, another was Brihadaranyaka. I said, it is too big for me to consume. He asked me, see that page. I took out that page. See the chapter, it is written Antaryami Prakarna. It means the chapter relating to the indweller. That's what it said. It started beautifully. First time I'm reading it. He said, read it. First time I'm reading it.
It was in Sanskrit.
It is in Sanskrit. The entire Upanishad. No Sanskrit, no other commentary. Yap Prativyam Drishtan, Yap Prativyam Andara, Yasya Prithivi Shariram, yap prithivim yamayati, yap prithivi na veda. The one who is the master of the entire earth, the one who is controlling the entire earth, but whom the earth has never known. The one of whose body your eye forms the part. And the one who is making your eye activate, who activates your eye. And the one whom the eye has never seen. The one who activates your ear. The one of whose part is your ear. But the one whom the ear has never heard. Like this the entire thing goes. Beautifully it goes. Only 2 pages. Perhaps 7 minutes. Finished it. I was so glued to it. I just looked at him to see whether I should continue or stop. He was in samadhi. Then I said, oh, this is called samadhi state. I was looking at him. Then a doubt came. During samadhi state, do people breathe? So I went very near to him to see whether any sign of palpitations, the breath coming and going. Just then I heard the footsteps of some of the brahmacharis. You know, they are greater than my master. So I was afraid of them always. So that's when I would say, hey, what are you doing when our Swamiji is meditating? So I immediately ran out. There are 2 entrances, and the other one, I ran out.
You ran out.
Ran out. This is what happened. But now I was satisfied that he fulfills. But 56, 57, 58, 59 till September, I never asked him for Mantra Diksha. No Mantra Diksha. I never asked him for Mantra Diksha. Everybody was prodding me. The fellow who brought me, hey, he's old. Get it now. Later on you will regret it. I said, I'm happy to see him. I'm happy to be with him. What will I do with Mantra Diksha?
But you are continuing with your visits.
Continuing every Saturday, Sunday, almost like a pagal.
I say.
See, Saturday, Sunday, 2 holidays we were in the central government. Friday is working day. So Friday night I will start by the last bus or something at the night, 10 o'clock. 4 o'clock I was in Haridwar. 6 o'clock is the first bus towards the Guha, via Rishikesh. I'll be there by 7:30 in the morning. So the entire Saturday, the entire Sunday, Sunday evening I will start. Night bus, early morning I will be, for some time I was in Meerut, sometime I was in Delhi, I will be in either Delhi or Meerut by early morning. Like
what
madcap.
What was the state of your mind?
The state of the mind was nothing. It was just like a donkey. It never appreciated anything. Everybody used to say, see, our Gurudev's eyes, how brilliant the entire light comes out. I used to go and see, it used to look very ordinary to me. Absolutely nothing. No vibrations ever affected me. But
there is continuing with
this. There is an unknown attraction. That's all. I do not know why. That's all. And luckily, very high philosophy were never discussed. See, people used to come, somebody will sing, somebody will be there. Very rarely there used to be one or two sentences, that's all. There is nothing else at all. But I love to be there from morning to evening. I never used to speak with anybody else. I never asked anybody, who are you? Are you an engineer? Are you a doctor? I was concerned only with him. My eyes were for him. I had never talked neither to the brahmacharis nor to the sannyasins. I knew nobody till my guru left his body, actually. Mm-hmm. Only one person or so I knew, or not two persons, otherwise I knew nothing.
In 1968.
1961 he left his body. 1960, January to March, I had taken leave and I was there. That was the last time I spent, because I had already been transferred to Pune far away in 1960 beginning. And 1960 March, when I came there, when I was standing, he said, start Bhagavat. I was starting Bhagavat. And on the third day, I got a telegram. My father had been operated in Nagpur, first ganglion hernia. So I should come immediately. So he said, you start immediately and go. He said, your father may not be alive, but you have read Bhagavat. You know, he told me, you have read Bhagavat, you know pretty well none of these things matter. So go. He asked me, have you got enough money or will to take something?
Somebody has left some money there. I said, no, thank you, Swami, I got everything. I had gone there with a view to go to Badri for the first time. She said, you stay here. So I stayed here for more than a month. I took 4 months leave. This is how it happened at that time. That is there. So, that is 1959, November, on his birthday. Morning, I had finished my Bhagavad, the last portion. Morning chanting, as well as a little of a lecture about it. Then, all the Mahatmas had been, hundreds of Mahatmas came. They were all given free food, bhandara. It went on from 12 o'clock up to 4 o'clock. All the villagers, everywhere, everybody will be pouring in. Some thousands of people. Everybody will be fed on the day. Somebody will come. Somebody will do the halwai. Swamiji never made any arrangements. Everything will be made by others. That's all. He never even saw whether the food was being made for all, what type of food is being made. Nothing. Everything he decided. He is not concerned. He is like a guest in that place. That's all. So, 1959, on his birthday, I finished my meals at 4 o'clock along with two other brahmacharis. Suddenly, one of the senior monks, Swami Nirvedananda, comes and tells me, come on, Guruji wants you pronto, immediately. I had almost finished till somebody was left. I got up, washed my hands. I was in pajamas, the pajamas full of soot, because I was serving water to all the Mahatmas. I said, so many great Mahatmas have come. I can't bend down and do other things, but at least water I could give. So that was the only service I did. I took a big kettle and I was giving water to all. So, it was all full of soot, going into the kitchen, taking the water and all that. And I was sweating, all these things. The moment I went, he was sitting there with some water in the vessel and all these things. He said, come on, sit down, take your posture. I didn't know in those days, the word posture in English meant an asana. Posture. And he was telling, posture, take your posture. I thought, he means I should sit on his lap. How can he bear me? I'm so foolish. So foolish. Even at that time. But some inner sense saved me. Then immediately he took, oh, he means asana. So I sat in Padmasana. And only one Swamiji was there, Bhumananda, a great man. He was standing there. He gave the mantra. Unasked. I had never asked him for mantra diksha. He gave the mantra. And in 59 November, later on there is one Jnanananda Giri. She is a Swiss Swamiji since 1940s. He is here. He is a grand disciple of Paramahamsa Yogananda, of the fame of autobiography Yogi. She lives in Dehradun still. I had met him in 1979 or so. He told me, do you know the significance of that mantra diksha? He has given you on his own birthday. On the birthday, his entire Chaitanya is manifest. Nobody gives on his birthday. You ask anybody, how many have got their mantra diksha on the birthday of the Guru? You got a rare thing, he thought. I never even thought of it. That's he who told me first time. And that's how things started even then. Because he wanted that I should tell on Bhagavat, I read the Hindi meaning for the first time. I didn't know what is Gyan, what are the things, half I understood, half I didn't understand. What I understood, I spoke to the people in Hindi every day. 5 hours of reading, 4 hours of talking in Hindi. On the birthdays.
So,
7 days. 7 days complete. It was my only sadhana. That's all. Normally it used to take 8 hours for the other pandits to finish the morning portion reciting. I used to read very fast. Few can ever cope up with me in Sanskrit reading. So I used to finish it within 4 weeks. And that's how things started, then reading. Even then, 3 years, I was reading the Bhagavad. I only explained what all I knew. What all I didn't know, skipped. After all, who is going to talk on all the 16,000 shlokas in 7 days? It has to be a summary. A lot of the shlokas, I didn't know the meaning, the full meaning of it. I never bothered. I was at that time in the Union Public Service Commission in Delhi as a finance manager. The finance ministry has kept one officer at the rank of deputy secretary, who is the ultimate authority for finance to audit what all I pass for payment. So he can raise any objection, he can say, you should pay it back to the government, you can't use it. Like that. One day he came to me and asked me, Swamiji, you are a South Indian. I am told that South Indians are fond of Bhagavad. Is there any Panditji here in Delhi who can... I want to read Bhagavad shloka to shloka, all the 16,000. I am prepared to pay him 2,000 rupees per month. 3 days in a week he will come to my house and teach me. I said, I don't know anybody. After 3 months only, when he came to my room, he found an invitation card on my table from my Vaishtaguha, where my name was written, that such and such will be doing Bhagavad Saptah. He said, you are a cheat. When I asked you, you said you do not know. What question did you ask? You didn't ask me whether you know Bhagavatam. You said whether you know any Panditji knowing Bhagavatam. I answered you. I am not a cheat. Then he said, from tomorrow, you will teach me shloka by shloka during the interval. Interval was 1.5 hours, 1 to 2:30. And every day, for teaching him, I got a beautiful book on Bhagavat. For each kanda, there are 5 volumes, total about 25 to 30 volumes, which contained 9 commentaries, Bahuvyakhya Sahit, in those days, published by Birla. The book is never available afterwards. Even there, all of them were not available, a few. I used to read them all. For teaching him the next day, the previous night, I had to prepare. I cannot say, I do not know. Now, every shloka I had to read. And there were days at night he will call me. He will discuss about what we talked. Some things he will put. So 1 hour. His wife will say, what sort of madman these people are, night 10 o'clock talking of Bhagavat. And on this side also, the lady also will say, what sort of mad people at 10 o'clock discussing Bhagavat. For 1 hour, 45 minutes we used to discuss. That is how the Lord made me go through the entire Bhagavat in detail. Goodness, should we now? I'll give it to you. So, see, God prepared me, item by item. And by the time I could finish, a good person was left. 11th skanda is fully the jnana skanda, containing the entire knowledge. Just in the beginning of it, I retired. I went back to South. That man, that Kedarnath Sharma, his name was. He was left high and dry. But that year in November, I was coming back to Vashtaguha for the birthday of the Gurudev, for reading Bhagavat. En route, I stayed in his house for 2 days. He said, look here, I have taken leave for 1.5 months. I am coming with you to Guha. I will attend. On coming back, you will cancel your ticket back. You will stay with me. You will finish the entire balance of Bhagavat. And then, any day you want, I will get you the ticket. The station master is my Samadhi. So I can get it for you. I stayed there for 1.5 months. Morning 6 to 12, 11:30. We will read Bhagavat. Then 11th is Kanda. Then 11:30 to 12, half an hour interval, 12 o'clock means 1 hour sleep. 2 o'clock we will again start. 2 to 5, half an hour interval. Then at 6:30 we will start Ramayana, Tulsidas Ramayana, up to night 9:30. This was the... not out of my choice. I was forced. And in about a month and 10 days, it was finished. Then he allowed me to go. That is how I was made to read shloka by shloka. Then afterwards, some 2-3 years are over. After all, one time you read, how much would you understand? When I came here, Sandhya told me, Swamiji, this time Bhagavad we are going to read shloka by shloka. You will explain, I will take notes. She read the entire 16,000 shlokas in those 4 months or 5 months. I was explaining daily shloka by shloka. She used to take profuse notes. So, it has made stronger still. And this is how.
Why, Swamiji, your guru insisted from Bhagavatam?
See, that was his own way. When he was 16 years old or 15 years old, see, he read the entire thing only through tuition when he was ill. He was attacked with rheumatic fever when he was 14 years old. He never continued his school education after the, 10th standard or 9th standard. He didn't even finish the 10th standard. He was very good in his English. He used to talk only in English. But he was given tuition in Sanskrit and all that, very good. So when he became well, he began to read only Bhagavatam somehow. And in that village where he was, okay, in every house they will call him. They will make him read a portion, and then they will give him a meat, and they will send him away. So he was so popular. And then later on also, he was having in every birthday before he went, he used to call a Panditji and ask him to do Bhagavad Saptah. But he was very old. He was 95 years old. He was bent so much. I have seen him. So when he reads, you cannot hear him. And when he talks, you cannot hear him. He will read up to 2 o'clock. Then he will cook his own meals and eat it. He will not take anybody's meals. And then from 4 to 5, he will talk something and nobody will hear. Simply be able to sit like this. Only when I went for the first time, I began to give the lectures and all that. First time I knew nothing, only stories. See, other things didn't go into my head at all. I do not know how. Later on, everything came. In 1993, when I came first to Atithi Ashram, he said, Swamiji, do Bhagavad Saptah. I said, I won't be able to read. So for reading, some good fellow is to come. My friend Mr. Nagasundaram was at Bangalore. So I told him, he came with his wife, he stayed there. Early morning, he will continue to do the entire Parayana. And I had various types of Bhagavad Saptah. See, in the year 95, 96 or so, 96 or 97 or so, there is an ashram in Lakshman Jula, a little beyond Shivananda Ashram, which is run by one Devi Menon, Devi. And she said, a number of Holland people, they have taken my first book on Bhagavad, they have translated into Dutch language. So, about 60 of them, they wanted they should hear the entire lecture from me. They all came and stayed there. I went and stayed there. For 7 days, I was doing it. But again, I insisted, the reading is most important. So, somebody has to read. Then she arranged with two brahmacharis. One of them is now the vice president of the
Children's Bhagavad. What was the state of your mind during your first visit? 3-4 years of association with the
Buddhist. Yes. You see, to some extent, it was there. You know, in the year 1915, after giving the mantra a few months later, when I was there, we were both coming from his room. See, there were only about 12 steps. Only his room was there in the terrace. On the first step, he had kept his hand on my shoulders. Inside, he was thinking, I should become a Swamiji. Somehow I like this. Even from my early days as a boy of 4, when I saw Shankaracharya sitting with his danda and all that, that attracted me. When he used to come home as a boy of 5, I will take my mother's sari, which was almost of this color, I will put it on my head. I will take one of these long sticks my mother used to put for Madi. So she used to keep there all her saris. I will take that, keep my hand and sit. Even then I had a little fascination for that. Nothing else inside. So, in the year 1959, when I was coming down, somehow, a little by little, that monkhood attracted me. I said, we should become a monk. We should be like that. Have nothing to do with this world and family. But there were occasions when I wanted to get a higher post, get a deputation, go and have 100 rupees more. Not only that, I wish to have a worldly life, a married life. So, some days the attraction will be equally as great as my attraction for monk. Yet, tug of war was there between the two. At no time I had any vairagya in that sense. That is there. The vairagya will come just like when a man attends a funeral, that's all. At that time we say, oh, everything is ephemeral. We go home and eat well, our paisams. The same thing was there. This was there for a long time. In 1970, 10 years after my this thing, the entire thing changed.
One of his shoulders.
He was keeping his hand on my shoulders and coming down. Suddenly, I had never told him anything. He told me, hey, you cannot become a monk now, you are unfit. This verdict shocked me. I said, with my knowledge of Sanskrit, with my knowledge of Bhagavata, if there is one man who is fit in this world, it is me. The balloon was shrunk when he declared. He didn't stop with it. He said, you have got the sanskara of a grihastha, marry early. This enraged me.
This enraged me.
I shook off violently his hand from my shoulders. I couldn't stand what he said. I sat down at the first step. He went down. From the last step, he looked at me. Hey, why are you worried? Do what I say. One day you will get that also. That's all. This is what he taught me. But much later I knew what he told was correct. I was absolutely unfit. My Mayra Vairagya was only very, very temporary and momentary from time to time. I had all the 100% temptations of the entire world. Money married life, everything was there. That is what I had. I was absolutely unprepared for a life of mom, but I was attracted by it. That is there. This is what happened. Then, of course, my Gurudev left his body.
When the Gurudev said that, one day you will become...
1960, September, when my Gurudev was there, the marriage took place by itself, things came, it all went on. I said, when he was told, I knew pretty well that he knew everything. So I had full faith in him. I said, okay, I remembered his last word, one day you will get it.
What was your reaction when the Gurudev said, one day you will become like that?
I was more angry with his first verdict. I was not bothered about that one day.
So that didn't
that made no impact. I was worried, he says, my saying that I am not fit now to become a monk. So that was overwhelming anger at that time. That is there. Then 1961, absolutely nothing. I was absolutely speechless. That's all. See, normally itself, somehow I didn't have the guts to talk to him. I have never put a single question in all these 4 years of my stay with him.
But you had the guts to remove his...
That was in sheer anger. Anger did it. I never did it. The anger did it. I was not even aware of it. I was seeing myself putting it away. So that's what happened at that time. Then, years passed, 1960 September marriage, completely for a period of 9 to 10 years, slowly my meditation became less and less, whereas within 3 years it became less. Then 1967 to 71, I was sent to East Africa, 5 years of life there, found out 5 years, there are parties, I was appearing for some London examinations. I was appearing to have some examinations from the internal lodges of New York. So everywhere, increase my qualifications, get more money, get more position. So that took possession of me. That is that. Completely forgot God. Forgot meditation. In the beginning, at least some castles I used to put in here, some Suprabhatam, some Vishnu Sadanam, even that was lost. No chanting, nothing at all. Morning to evening, morning, 7:30, 2:30 office, 2:30 coming and having it, appearing for the next examination, 6 parts. So every part, every 6 months, and all 4 new subjects, sometimes statistics, sometimes economics, all new subjects for me, for a science man. So I was busy with them all. No God, no Guru, no meditation, never thought of it at all. Absolutely forgot. But even then, he was saving me every time there. Almost, I had booked my passage for my ship. 5 months were left. At that time, there is a big storm in that office. There is an audit objection of a payment of some millions to an Italian firm called Sterling Stallone. He said, the principal secretary of finance was my boss, he was put inside, Peter Snook. The engineering in chief, the British born Sardar, who had never seen India, with all his mustache and things, he was put inside the jail. Within a minute, no intimation given. They came to the office, come along, bring your passport, wrote there, declare persona non grata, suspended from service. Straight, he was put inside prison. Nobody was even aware for 4 days. So, and 5 chief engineers, some Govans, 2 Britishers. And all these people were inside. And minor restriction which audits all the bills. Without the mudra, nobody will give the payment. They were coming and taking every auditor of my 200 auditors and 5 officers under me. Everybody was taken for examination. I told in my house, be ready at any time to fly with the child. Get out. Don't remind. The moment I am put inside the jail, don't come. She began to write Ram Nam. Throughout she was writing Ram Nam, she got a fright. Because she had the benefit of Ram Nam when the child was born. It was declared it will die within 9 days. Then my Gurudev's voice came. Ask her to write Ram Nam. And on the 10th day the child, ABO incompatibility for it, there are no medicines till today. And every day the indirect blood percentage will increase. When it goes to more than 80%, the child will die on the 10th day or 9th day. It was stopped on the 4th day. It began to come down. It became zero. They said it's a miracle. They call it a free case. We call it a miracle. They call it a free case. It was a Muslim hospital called Aga Khan Hospital. So that's what happened at the time. So she was writing Ram Nam and all that. Nobody ever came to me. They said all Indians in the ministry will give their passport, will deposit in the administration. It was never given to them for 5 years till the case was closed. I never gave it. I have already booked. Nobody asked me what happened with your passport. Exactly on the 6th month, the ship came. I put all my luggage. Till the last minute, I thought these people will catch me. No, I reached safe India. Yes, a lot. When everybody who was least concerned with it, they were all put inside. And I was concerned. And later on, somebody wrote to me, Swamiji, on that bill, this bill never went through the section. It was directly taken by an MP who was one of the trustees of that firm. They are put on the local African chaps, an MP. So he took it directly from the engineering chief, got the signature and got the amount. Our mudra was not there. But I didn't know that at that time. I was afraid. Nobody ever kept it. So this is another time when the Lord showed his hand. But when I came back to India, as my Gurudev was not there, I said, my Gurudev is gone. What will I do with going to Ashtaguham? I never went for 15 years. And when I came back, I was posted initially at Bombay. Then I went to Meerut. I used to go every year to Gita Bhavan on the other side of the Ganges at Rishikesh. Stay there for 1 month with my family. Do my meditation. But I never went beyond for 20 kilometers, no. I never went to Ashtaguha at all.
What was the main reason? Because the Guru is not there.
I was feeling a lot of sentiment. I was feeling a place where he showered his love. Where lovingly sometimes he will call me and ask him to sit by my side. Suddenly he will say, hey, you chant that Gopika Gita. Suddenly he will say, hey, read this chapter in Guru Gita. So, see the point is our ego was bloated. When a Guruji, we are not going there to learn from Guruji. We want to show off our knowledge. So naturally when he asks me, you read this, you read that, we feel heavily pleased. Swamiji assaulted me. So somehow that love grew from this side also. For whatever the reason may be. And I felt bad in going to that place. Where I have moved with him so closely, where he used to sit by my side and hear the Bhagavad. I said, I can't afford to go there. And nobody knew my address. Suddenly, one of the most senior Guru Bhajis who came and called me, Guruji calls you for Mantra Diksha, the same Nirvedananda, He was settled at Ghazipur near this thing. I never knew. I had no idea of anybody there. He writes me a letter. Yesterday I was traveling to Haridwar, to Ayyappan Mandir. I met one chap in my compartment who said, he's your colleague. He said, you have come back from Tanzania and you are placed at Meerut. He gave me your address. He says, why didn't you come to Haridwar and meet me? And the next week, I had a program to go for inspection to Dehradun within 30 kilometers from Haridwar. I went there for 4 days, took leave for 4 days, went to meet him. The first question, the moment I met him was, how many times have you gone to Guha after Gurudev Samadhi? I said, I have not gone. I can't afford to. Gurudev is dead. Oh, this is the jnana you give to everybody, that Gurudev is dead. And that is what your Bhagavata has told. All Gurudevs are dead. He said, you are just now coming with me. He took a bag, started for Vaishtaguha. He took me over there. A little while I wept and all that, that's all. Then I met all the old people, they were all sannyasins, they were all heads. So they said, Swamiji, you must come and do Bhagavad, you are doing it in first time. Then the link started again. That's how.
We'll pause.
You see, so I never felt any progress in the spiritual direction at all, except perhaps some marginal improvements. So long as my Gurudev lived, my Gurudev once used to say, not to me when there was a company, as long as the body is with me, my powers are limited to help my shishyas. The day I get out of this body, my powers will be unlimited. I can help them infinitely. This was true. It was from 1971, a complete change came. I was completely, even though I was with the family, I was practically morning to night, I was in a separate room. Whenever the time came, only thing was, throughout my life, wherever I was, I had to clear arrears of all my predecessors for years. Even when I went to Africa, I get a personal letter from the president that 15 years of all deputations are pending, you will clear them all and give me a weekly progress report. They have been idling and sleeping for 15 years, and when I came, it became urgent. So everywhere in my life, I used to bring files and work up tonight, 1 o'clock at home, for most of the years, except for some 5-6 years in between. This had been my cross, I should say. So, I had very little time, but the little time I had, I used to spend definitely in my meditation. While going in the bus to the office, etc., I was always thinking of God. And the entire thing started from 1971. And when colleagues came to meet me and talk to me, everybody will talk about the graduation list, who was promoted earlier, who had a good confidence report, all these sorts of things. So to avoid them all, what I would do? Suddenly I will break their concentration and say, oh look here, 1 minute, I'm just coming. I'll bring one book. There is 3 volumes, Satsang with Baba. There is Swami Muktananda of Ganeshpuri, Shishya of Nityananji Maharaj of Bombay. So he had to put 3 volumes of his satsang. I will just bring and somewhere, nowhere, I will begin to read. At least 3 or 4 of them will run away after 2 minutes. Oh, I got, it is very lovely, I would have loved to hear it, but I have to go, they will all go away. And only one man used to remind. One man, he used to remind. He was the one who wanted Bhagavatam to be read completely to him. He is the one man who continued to remind. Yeah, it is very good, you read more, he will say. Like that. So, I will never repeat anybody's wishes. People will come to me with their family once, twice. They will say, how is it you don't come? I'll simply laugh. How is it you only laugh when we say, for that also will laugh. They will never ask me to come again, neither they will come. Thus, I was avoiding all. And for a period of about 15 years or so, after 1971, 72 or so, every year I will take about 45 days of leave, go to Uttarkashi. There was another shishya of my Gurudev who was well versed. He was originally a Nambudiri from Trivandrum. He was known as Swami Shankaranandaji Maharaj. So I used to go to him. He will not teach, but he will make me read. He had a number of books. He will say, take the Shankara Bhashya, go through it. Wherever you have got, you ask me. He cannot teach, he is not proficient. But you ask him any question anywhere in the philosophy, he will link ever so many things so beautifully he can explain. Any doubt he can explain beautifully, but he cannot teach in a routine manner at all. So, the reading I used to do, I had never read any book under anybody. But I used to ask him the questions, beautiful answers. Even when I was not an expert, there used to be two or three other people in his ashram. He will say, you will take classes for them in Vivek Chudamani. So I'll begin to explain and he will be simply sitting. And rarely he will interfere and he will give some further explanations or things like that. So like that, again I was trained. Again I was trained in this manner. So a number of books, including otherwise the Brahma Sutra, Shankara Bhashya was a bugbear, I would never have read it. He made me read it four times with a beautiful Sanskrit and Hindi commentary. The Hindi was very close to it. It was also done by one Maheshananda Giri, one of the most famous Mahatmas. And he has done it so beautifully and so, I mean, even a layman can understand it. So thus, it's a big book. That's a big book. So four times I could read the Shankara Bhashya, otherwise I would never have read it at all. So like that. One after another, the scriptures, including all the Upanishads and all. Yes, earlier, I used to read the English versions of Upanishads from the Ramakrishna Mission, and like that I have read a lot, and Sivananda had written a number of these Upanishads. So those things I had read, but they didn't make so much impact. But after 1977 onwards, especially, when I was going to Shankarananda's ashram, well, somehow I had a beautiful time. I used to go with my entire family. They would also be either sitting for some time there or they'll be going to the Ganges and sitting there. I was alone sometimes. So like that, 1977 till 1986, about 9 to 10 years just before my retirement, I retired in 1986. Till that time, I had a concentrated study of all the scriptures. That's what happened. That's all due to my Guru's grace, and my Sannyas Guru helped me a lot in that. He was very helpful to me. We used to stay with him. And he used to prepare food for all of us sometimes. Yes, when the family went sometimes, the lady also used to help. But he also used to prepare some nice dishes and all that. So in every manner he looked after us. Again, the Guru's kripa. Otherwise, we should be a sannyasi. We take a special interest in a householder. And then bring him up. Make him read. There are so many others coming, some Gujarati is coming. He never asked them to read. So he only made me read. From morning to evening he will give me. Then there are four volumes of Dharma Shastra from Pune, issued by Bhandarkar Institute or something like that. He made me go through the entire thing. So like that, I was asked to go through a number of books, the scriptures, on which I had no idea even sometimes like. And thus I was trained. And I should say every year I grew. There at that time I was conscious I was growing in my spirituality. Every minute I knew from nowhere, when I used to read the Upanishads, the meaning will just flash in my mind without reading the commentary. When I read the commentary, I found my knowledge of it had much more depth than the commentary had. So that was the name. Thus it came, then finally I retired in 1986. Till that time we were telling that we will go, my sannyasa guru that Shankaranda in those days told, you come here, you can build a complete building on the top, 20,000 to 30,000 li, you live here. And everybody was telling, yes, yes, we will. But when the time came, the people in my house said, no, 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 we want to go to the south, we have to be there, all my relatives are there, they will also all be very helpful. See the Lord's play. The day we went there, that lady's brother was admitted in the ICU. For 3 months she served. She thought everybody will serve me, she said. That she had to serve for 3 months. And nobody served her at any time. That's how things happen. That is there. And her old mother, nobody would keep her. She was the wife of a chief engineer, 85 years. Somehow memory was lost. She had no control over her urinal and all that. No daughter. All of them were well off. All of them had nothing, no commitments. Big bungalows. Nobody would keep. She came and stayed there. She served her. I said, yes, this is what God does. When we expect that others would serve us, He sees to it that you serve them. It was a great lesson. I enjoyed that. I was not against it at all. And from 1986 onwards, somehow a group of people came, and for about nearly 2 years, about 3 years, I was teaching them Sanskrit. Absolutely no connection with the house. The Purashram Sani was reading Bitak and all that. I had no connection. I never used to speak. I never used to correspond. Everything was being done by the house. They used to send the money. I had slowly, completely no contacts with the house practically, except for the meals, silent meals. That's all. People be coming and talking about spirituality sometimes. All these things started. And morning I used to conduct classes. Evening I used to conduct classes. There was in 10 days how to speak simple Sanskrit. And then I was taking classes on some of the classical books.
So from Banjagatta Road you used to go to Girinagar?
Girinagar, not Girinagar. It had one small office in Sheshadripuram.
From Banjagatta Road to Sheshadripuram?
Sheshadripuram. So there, you know, I used to correct all the assignments from people to postal correspondents, people who were appearing for the Sanskrit examinations. So that was my main duty, morning to evening, all voluntary only. And then I was conducting some contact classes on Sundays on all those textbooks and all that. This is what I was doing. But my personal meditation was all for him. Then it was the year 1991, June. I was alone in the Banagatta Road somewhere in that Canara Bank colony. It's a big house. And the lady had gone for a 6 month short time assignment for teaching economics to AMI students in AMI college. So 6 months she would be there. The boy was in B.Tech in Kharagpur. I was alone. I had every day morning I had my chantings. I had my all the time I was spending in thinking of these things. But I was very happy. Oh, this is just like an ashram. There is no need. See, look here, there is nobody else. The entire house is mine. I could go in the terrace and I do meditation. I was highly complacent. 1991, May or June. I was sitting one day in meditation. Suddenly, a voice came. Even today, I don't know whose voice it was. The voice came. Hey, one day you were very anxious to become a monk. What happened to it? You are happy now. You are leaving next weekend. You are going to Uttarkashi. You will take your sannyas early. That's all. Nothing else. One line of taunting, then the command. That's all. It acted immediately. Within 5 minutes I got up, took all my certificates, whatever they were, burnt them all. I said, this is called burning the boats. Otherwise I'll be tempted sometimes to, because my qualification was that anytime, anywhere, I could go and earn a few thousand bucks. I said, no, the temptation should not be there. Later on when Swamiji came to Vaishtaguha, he said, I am an MD, I got all my certificates, why don't you make me a doctor here in your this thing, I require only 10,000 rupees per month. He was a monk. So I said, I was thinking at that time, I should not be like that. When once I take it, I should be whole time monk, there is no question of anything to do with the world. So first thing I did, took out all my pants and my t-shirts, went to the bazaar where there was a second hand shop. I gave it to them free, told them, please give it to needy people. If you cannot give it them free, take least amount from them. I gave it to them. Took all my books to Nagasundaram's house. I said, I don't require them all, you keep it. I never told anybody my intention. And prepared a list of all the devotees and other things, whatever there, put in 2-3 places. No letter, nothing was kept. And there are two things which happened in between, which are interesting. The Shankaranaji Maharaj had often told me, hey, anytime you want to take sannyas, don't come empty-handed. These days it's not like the old days. You can't afford to be without a pie. You will die. What will happen if you have got an operation, a surgery? So, you should always have at least 50,000 rupees. Don't give everything to the family and come. So, all the money were all in the names of the other family members. I had kept one, which was in my own name and nobody else, no nomination. It was for 30,000 rupees or so. Suddenly one day, I had still some 5 days to leave, I already got the ticket. The meditation, suddenly the thought came, hey, what is sannyas? A sannyas means a 100% belief and a total surrender to the Supreme Lord, knowing that He will provide for you. And keeping 50,000 rupees under your armpit, you don't believe Him for 30,000 rupees. And is it not a no-confidence motion against God? And you call, and you are going for sannyas? I said, oh, what a fool. The next day morning, this was all in the Madras bank. That night itself, I left without any ticket or without any reservation. I left by that some Bangalore Express or something at 8 o'clock. Morning 8:30, I was in the bank. The bank opens at 8:30. I said that matter. Somewhere near Egmore. Went straight. I had a number of empty FD forms where all the signatures were there. I had always kept them with me. Terminated it, put it in their name, took the next train and came back. I never met anybody anywhere. Came back, I was relieved. This is one incident. The other incident was, the Sunday before I was to leave, the last contact class before examination was there for the Sanskrit examinations of Hindu Seva Pratishthana. I was taking class. It was for the last exam. It contained a number of things on Advaita and Shadarchana, on all the six systems of philosophies like Nyaya, Vaisheshika, Sankhya, Puramimamsa, and all these things. So whatever was there, I was explaining to them. There were two engineers from HAL. They were design engineers. The moment was over, they came to me. Sir, we had a Swamiji known as Krishnananda, sometime back, some 10 years back. He had given us Mantra Diksha. But now, in our meditation, there are a lot of problems. He had gone away to the Himalayas or somewhere, we don't know, absolutely for the past 10 years, we have no news. We got a lot of doubts. We want to get them cleared from you. I said, look here. I was only teaching what was in the books. I am not an expert in all these things. How did you think that I am interested in all these things? It is not possible. He said, no, 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 you must come. Then, by chance, he gave his card. It was in Domalur Road or Domalur something, somewhere like that. I said, oh, this is the place where my nephew lives. Oh, then when you are coming to his house, you can come to my house. You please ring me up, I will come and take you. No, 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 I won't go anywhere. Because I got barely 5 days. But the very next day, it was a Thursday working day, I said, that boy, my niece, my nephew was there. He had been with me for a long time. He used to live at Bombay, in Bombay. I taught him ABCD. His father used to beat him so he couldn't learn the alphabets. Then I used to tell him in a way, yeah, you see, it looks like a ladder, 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 like that. I used to make methods and all that I taught him. So I said, before I go to the field, I'll just go and have a cup of coffee and come back. I didn't tell anybody about it. Just like that only. It was 3 o'clock when I reached his house. I had not entered. I was in the road. Yeah, motorcycle was coming. The man had a visor. The moment he came, he stopped it. It was that engineer. It was that engineer. He said, Swamiji, sir, what a nice thing. By chance, I had left a design today for the meeting. It was required. I came to take back the design. I meet you. See the Lord's way. He must have come in the evening. It was 3 o'clock in the working day. The fellow had come home to take his design back. and he meets me there at that time. So, Swamiji, I'll come back within half an hour. I will deliver it and come back. Please be here. I said, I may not be here. I will go here within 5 minutes. In the meantime, that fellow, that boy, the nephew of mine, he came. He was not a boy. He was a middle-aged man. He was in Vipro, his general manager. That fellow came. He said, don't worry. You come at your time. I won't allow my uncle to go so soon. He gave him Abhay Pradhan. He attributed him. So, I was talking to them within half an hour. Those two engineers came back. Both of them came back. I said, let us go home. We went to their house. I said, look here, Bannergaard, I have to change 2 buses. I have to go early. Otherwise, I won't get the link. So, I went to his house. She said, sir, let us have some tea or coffee and then we'll start. So, it took some time for them. They had to go somewhere and bring. So I said, instead of sitting quiet, I was just talking. Something on the spirituality, about God, grace. Something like that. I was went on talking about meditation. I went on talking. Suddenly I found it 6 o'clock. I said, come on, come on. They said, we have made a list of our doubts. We sat there, both of us together. We have brought, that's what they told me first, about 20 questions. I said, okay. Come on, read it. They laughed. In these few minutes, you have answered all over 20 questions. Yes. There is no question to ask.